Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I am Dan.
Sean, Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Did you forget your name? Are you going to call yourself me at this point?
No.
I forget when I went in full guns blazing and just went, I'm Dan. I'm like, oh, fuck.
There was one time where I said, I'm Sean, and that just totally messed up the intro, too. We've been doing some... You would think for episode 227, we checked this time, of this podcast, that this would be like episode 2, but we're actually pretty good at these. This week,
I mean, maybe we're so good now that we're like, we try to challenge ourselves and trip ourselves up over it just for shits and giggles at this point, you know?
We're tourists. That's really what we're doing. We're just visiting this podcast.
Hey, so. Man, slow down.
Anyways, on this episode, we have three albums, as usual. Swedish House Mafia's Paradise Again, Wet Legs' self-titled album, and Soft Power by Ryan Egan. We have a single, we have a little bit of news, and we have to start now. Maybe I don't have to, but I mean, with your permission, viewer, listener, if you'd like us to start, then we will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it. So,
it was one of those Dora the Explorer things. We're just like, wait...
Are you ready? Okay.
Okay. Let's go to, for the sake of clarity, a song called Let's Do It Again by Jamie XX. Jamie XX of the XX fame, of mm-hmm. I Know There's Gonna Be Good Times playing, of, you know, he's made a lot of surprisingly good indie turned super popular, like, club bangers, and Let's Do It Again seems to be like another crack at something similar in that realm. I don't know if it's like just a single one-off. I don't know if it's going to be part of like a larger project, because it's been a minute and a half since he's done a larger project, but Let's Do It Again is pretty good.
I like the way it builds and the way it sounds and everything. It's a pretty good, like, pretty good EDM, which is nice. Like, I mean, it's kind of a theme of today. Actually, get some nice dance music, which we haven't had in Audio Face in a while. But I like it. I really hope that Jamie XX puts out new music a full album, because it's been since, I would like to say, 2014, 2015-ish? Since In Color? Yeah, 2015, since In Color came out, which, fuck, this was a while ago. I remember when that came out.
Good times.
Good times. And with that, I do like Let's Do It Again. It's, you know, just really nice club banger. It's poppy, it's fun, but it's also like the full edit of the track is a good 7 minutes long. So, which, you know me, I love it when I have a long track like that, especially with just a one off. I like it, so it's good.
Yeah, I like the vocal. I like the vocal flourishes throughout the drop, and I like the way that some of the sound is taken out, like with the drums, like that thing that's kind of goes throughout it. I think that's just cool. It's unique. It's different, and I wouldn't expect anything less from Jamie XX. I had to stop myself from doing Jamie XCX because it's been a new time in Audio Face. Audio Face was a little swimmer when Jamie XX's In Color came out, and now it's a kindergartner. Anyways, with this Syndicate 23 updates, the PowerPoint archive is now live, and so after getting all of those laughs out of my system, remember, Syndicate 23 members can check out all of the bonus content we're doing, including my Coachella updates, including the Yay bonus, including, we also did a double Coachella thing just now. We just went through past Coachella lineups and went through how much we've been robbed as people, which I think that might be one of the ones I released for the public, because that was just super good, but maybe way down the line. But Syndicate 23 members are definitely going to get that first. But you go to join.syndicate23.co for all of that. Also, if you're not a member, we have a new website for Audio Face that makes it easier to get all of the links for other podcast apps that aren't Spotify. So check out audioface.show for that. Oh, would you look at that? It's the same link and website. I made it really easy this time for once.
Would you look at that?
Now, would you look at that? The 2022 playlist, still need help naming it. Go check it out because we are continually adding the best music from 2022 there. And thank you, Peter, at Dead Music Productions for putting up with all of this. And mastering it.
All the shenanigans.
Yeah. If you're a musician who is looking to have your music sound really nice and they have a really nice repertoire of artists they've just done mastering for recently, check them out at DeadMusic666 on Insta. Anyways, we go into the first news story of the week, which is DaBaby being DaBaby. This is actually one of the rarest in defense of DaBaby stories that I'm going to do here, because this is America, and if someone steps on your property...
I'm sleeping now.
Yeah. This is America, and if you trespass onto a property that has a sign such as DaBaby's that says, "No trespassing, we have guns and shovels."
You're going to get a gun and shovel to the knee.
Yeah. So on Wednesday evening, a trespasser was shot in the, checks notes, Troutman, North Carolina mansion of DaBaby, controversial rapper. You may know him from trying to hide his sexuality, allegedly. And also being in an alleged, now legally pending, assault with his girlfriend's brother at a bowling alley in Los Angeles.
Noga Park Bowl.
No, it was Winnetka Lanes.
Oh, sorry, it was Winnetka. Even better. Winnetka Lanes.
You know, DaBaby producing the hits. Anyways, in another one here, he exchanged words with the intruder before shooting a man in the leg, and then he dialed 911, and around 7:45, the rapper cooperated with the police, no arrests were made, and the trespasser was taken to the hospital and treated for non-life-threatening injuries. So yeah, it was just, it seemed like the guy trespassed.
Yeah, good. DaBaby did the good thing, you know, of like shooting the guy in the leg as like a warning shot, so that way, you know, it's not life-threatening injuries or anything, but it's just enough to, you know, not going to fuck with him again, apparently.
He called the cops, apparently, and for a while it was like, wow, someone was shot on DaBaby's property. Oh no, we're finding out DaBaby was there. DaBaby did it. That's how the story developed. So it's just like, yeah, sure. But this is like, so listen, there was a separate shooting charge DaBaby had that was dropped like years ago where he shot someone under way less like obviously defensive sort of circumstances. There's all these different cases before the Winnetka Lanes brawl where he's been seen getting violent people, like trying to hit them or punch them to like forcibly kissing them, and seems on video. So
and getting rejected.
Yeah, man's got a history, to say the least. But this is one of the rare times, and yeah, all the homophobia, like we covered that ad nauseum on the podcast last year, but this is one of those rare times where I have to say, like,
right.
Nah, just same dude.
Fair play.
Yeah. DaBaby's a generally violent person, but even the, I think the police said that, just like, you know, any other property owner, they're entitled to their right to secure their property and make sure nobody comes in. Spoken like a true North Carolinian.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways, we go into our first album of the day. It is Paradise Again by Swedish House Mafia. It is 11 songs, 1 hour and 2 minutes long. And kind of, you know, there's a speculation that LCD Sound System, more on that later, that Swedish House Mafia was going to release some new music at some point very recently. They just had a headlining return at Coachella that they, you know, was a long time coming. There was one of their first major shows in a while. They did that with The Weeknd all of a sudden because Ye dropped out, and then they're going to be on Sunday. Then Ye came into the Coachella, and so they were going to be this other thing, and then Ye came out of Coachella, and so they did this thing with The Weeknd, and The Weeknd almost lost a lot of money. It's a story, but the point is, Swedish House Mafia returned before Coachella Weekend 1. They dropped this record, which is, strangely enough, their first album, even though they've been around for a long time. I think basically this works as one of those things in EDM where you release mixes most of the time, and so when you have that under your discography, it's a little bit different than having a real like set of albums specifically, like a lot of artists do. But here you have 17 songs of one of the best electronic albums I've heard in a very long time.
Yep, agreed. I was kind of skeptical going into it. I do like Swedish House Mafia. I like the tracks that they've put out with The Weeknd. You know, the records and stuff and that they put out 10 years ago now, which is insane to think about that was already a decade ago. And their singles I've liked, but you know, I'm still just because of the history that we've had with EDM the past few years of Audio Phase One. I'm like, I don't know, like my standards are so high, I don't know what I'm gonna get. And the first track of Time featuring Mappe is fantastic. It reminds me actually a lot of one of my favorite EDM artists, of Kolsch. It reminds me a lot of his production and his sound, but Swedish House Mafia kind of puts their own kind of theme and their own style of doing that kind of trance meets house style of EDM that I like a lot, but I don't think too many artists do, and this is a perfect kind of blend of that mixed with stuff that you can easily put in club banners, you could easily put on the radio, you could do a lot of stuff with it with, and yeah, it is a fantastic record. I like it a lot. Starts off great. Yep, again, Time. Very good opening track. You have Heaven Takes You Home, Jacob's Note. Also great. The one thing I do want to say before I get to Moth to a Flame with Weeknd is something that the features all in here, all of the vocals and whatnot are great. None of them are cliche at all, which we get a lot in EDM, you know, where they have insert female vocal voice here, blah, 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 drop, blah, wee, crowd goes crazy, right? Rinse, repeat for the past decade or so. None of them do that to a point where it gets annoying at all. You have it here or there just because it's the nature of the game. And, you know, they try to do that for, like, Heaven Takes You Home. You can get a little sense of that a little bit here or there, but nothing crazy. But the thing is that they all go well together, and each of the vocal sample and whatnot on all the tracks, they go well. Like, they go along with each other, which is nice, because sometimes one might stand out more than the other. One might just be like, oh, this is like the hit that they want to have or whatnot. No, they're all of them are purposely driven for the record, and it all is concise and cohesive into the project, which is honestly hard to do for a group as big as Swedish House Mafia, and within the nature of EDM. There's very, very few artists that can do that. And again, with an album that has 17 songs, 1 hour and 2 minutes long, like you could easily have it where it just overwhelms you, but it doesn't at all for this record, yeah, which is impressive to say the least.
Electronic, even at its best, is going to be a very repetitive genre. And in 2022, 1 hour and 2 minutes long of an album, 17 songs long of an album, it's not like this is a statistical thing on Audio Phase, of course, but that's pretty much lining up for me to say it's overstaying its welcome. It's just like hard because so many albums get so much done in 35 minutes or less, or about that sweet spot of now 43, 44 minutes in a time where everything's vying for our attention, like other forms of media, like TV shows and news and sports and everything else. The decaying of our global empire. It's important to, not overstay your welcome, and this album definitely does not.
No.
Now that we can't.
A perfect 1 hour and 2 minutes long. It is. Yes. It's that example. Like, you get to Moth to a Flame with The Weeknd, which.
Yes. But does he know you call me when he sleeps? Or does he know the pictures?
Abel, first off, is really becoming one of my favorite artists now, which is insane because I was a hater in the early 2010s.
I encourage a lot of people who are haters because, like, we were not the only haters out there originally, but we pay such close attention to music that we were able to pretty much pinpoint around the time when we were able to see. We personally were able to see The Weeknd transcend from the things we didn't like about him to growing into a better artist.
Like, Southern Starboy era, to me, was when it was starting to get there. And now the past two records, and now with all the features he does, even with, like, the Latin features and things he's done now, it's great. And Moth to a Flame is such a good dance track. It is like a perfect mixture of dance with pop and everything that you want. A club banger. You could play this at so many different events, not just like a club. You could play at stadiums. You could play at, you know, different games like hockey games, football games, so on and so forth. It's such a good track with it. But the other thing that I want to give Swedish House Mafia props to, even though that's like the headline track of this album, I would say it doesn't outshine anything at all. Because you have Mafia right after, which is also a good track by itself, because it's nice how it breaks it up that little bit, because, you know, it's non-vocals and it kind of goes to this almost like garage meets dubstep style stuff, which it really connects with connects the features well together. But Moth to a Flame doesn't like outshine the rest of the record at all, which is hard to do with an EDM record.
Getting through the rest of the record, like Mafia, takes it slower down and does, almost quite that dubstep thing. Frankenstein with A$AP Rocky is definitely the most experimental of tracks on here. There's, similarly to Frankenstein itself, there's a bunch of different mixes and beats thrown throughout the entire thing. Like they forget that they need you. Most of these hoes are faithful. So ungrateful. Don't remember who raised you. Like the hand that feeds you, be the hand that pay you, bitch. You so unfaithful. I'ma make these boys act thankful. Just like they forget that they need you. All six souls are faithful. So ungrateful. Boy, don't forget who raised you. Don't like the hand that feed you. All six souls are faithful. Where the fuck you been? Where the fuck you been? Can't the fuck up shit. In the club again. Where the fuck you been? Where the fuck you been? Shut the fuck up, nigga. Way too tight. I'm in the mosh pit. Finna bust some shit. I'm in the it changes pace. It moves throughout pace. Yeah.
Yeah, you just throw shit together and be like, see what happens. And I applaud them for that.
Yeah,
it's a track that I don't know if I like or not yet.
I agree. I don't necessarily like it all that much, but it's really.
I love that they did that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like it all that much, even on second listen, per se, but I appreciate that it's there, and I like where it is in the album, because if you didn't have Mafia Frankenstein before Don't Go Mad, which breaks things down into a more kind of international flair house beat into it, then you would... I don't like the transition of Moth to a Flame to Don't Go Mad. I wouldn't have felt like where I usually do that incision of, this is where the album's too long. No, this is what is needed in the album. And another big like praise to them is, in an electronic album, you kind of, there's so few of them, and I think it's tempting to say we judge electronic albums differently, but I think we have the same values in judging and reviewing those albums as we do any other genre of album, but it just plays out in a different way. So like, when I say in any normal review, I want an album to have a purposeful beginning, middle, and end and play all the way through, what I mean in electronic music is I want it to sound like a mix. And this sounds like a mix. This is like, this sounds like something you would like press play out at a club and it would just work start to finish, because it does all the things a DJ needs to do to manage a club's atmosphere and energy. You have your fast songs, you have your slow songs, you have your kind of lovey songs, your dancey songs, your hype songs. Everything works together start to finish. You don't have to insert something into a playlist. You don't have to do anything. But if you are a DJ, it's a nice template for you to mix things up and change it up and go around, which is why I'm... at least the time recording this, it's before me going to Coachella and seeing the Swedish House Mafia show live. I'm very excited to see how they recreate this live.
Yes. I'm excited for you to see it too. I'm going to live vicariously through you for that. The thing that really impresses me with this record, though, isn't just the top half. It's the bottom half of the record. They put all of their features on the first 9 tracks, right? All of like you got The Weeknd, A$AP Rocky, Ty Dolla $ign, so on and so forth. Everybody on there, great, right? It's all the features are great. They're concise. They get to the point. But the thing that really impressed me was once you got to the 11th track, Home. Home onwards for me, even though I call it on's a good track, but for me, Home is where it really starts. That's where, as Dan was saying, you get that mix feeling, and it feels like you have a first half of a mix and a second half of a mix. If you guys ever go to like house shows or whatnot, that happens a lot with really good DJs. They'll kind of like mix it up and change it up so that way you don't have an hour of just one kind of theme. A lot of guys will do a quarter mix, half and half, or so on. And this is, to me, where it feels like it goes straight through into it. And
you have variety of pacing.
Yes, and you get so many different tracks in here. You have Home, It Gets Better, Red Light. All three of those are totally different. Totally different bases, totally different styles of EDM, but they all still go together, which, again, is very difficult to do. And the thing that I love about it is, again, it sounds like a mix. It sounds like I can just play this straight through and just get on with it. So it's a fantastic record. I really like this record a lot.
Yeah, I was very pleased with it. I also shout out to the Ty Dolla $ign with 070 Shake, who I've liked on this podcast a lot, and shout it out for their early album. I've said they sounded like a little Weekend-esque, but like not in a bad way, definitely in a good way. And getting to hear 070 Shake and The Weeknd on Swedish House Mafia tracks that are a little bit different but a little bit similar, they both deserve to be exactly where they are. They both fit perfectly on those tracks. And Ty Dolla $ign compliments it as well. Again, shout out to an EDM artist who incorporates rappers who don't suck on their own, and rappers who can handle the versatility of being on an electronic beat.
Yes.
And like bring their A game and don't suck during it. Like everything comes together. And for the electronic artists, they don't like, they work it for rap, but they don't bend it so much that it just becomes bland and generic.
It just becomes another trap song or something like that, which a lot of big time artists will do. No, that's the thing. Again, every track in here has a purpose. Every track goes together the way it pops through the record. I need to take time. For everybody listening out there, we're recording this on a Saturday because it's God's Day tomorrow. So I'm not going to be able to record. So we only got like a day and a half to listen to everything. Normally we have an extra day or so to get, you know, 2-3 listens on. Sometimes I'll get my shuffle listen. I wanted to shuffle listen to this, but I just haven't had time. So it'll be interesting to hear it again, you know, in a couple of days, and I do shuffle listen and see how well it still sounds when you have all of them just scrambled together. And if it still sounds like a mix, still sounds good, then it's going to be one of my favorite records of this year. I'm very, very impressed with this. It's a long time coming from Swedish House Mafia, what, a decade or so since their last record, which should be Until Now. Yeah.
Not even like last record, but like this is the first proper album, so to speak, right?
First proper album?
A real album.
I guess so, yeah. Because several ones have been kind of thrown together singles and everything, yeah.
Yes. Fair play. Swedish, like, Until Now is sort of like a compilation of the singles they had released because,
That's true, a
lot of EDM, it is a mix. Like, people, DJs just release things as they're working on them,
That's true.
Albums never work out. So, for EDM, this is a great album. For Swedish House Mafia, this is a phenomenal first like album showing to put it all together as an idea and to show what an album really means for music in general. This is a great album. This is really barely any flaws I've got to say with this.
Neither to me, and I'm glad because EDM needs this. We need this in electronic and electronic pop music for sure.
We said it in our State of 2022 music conversation that folks can check out on YouTube and podcast apps, etc., that this is what EDM kind of needs, like a full album that resets and shows what you can do with house music and other genres, blending things in together to make it fresh and new for a brand new generation. In addition to all the other things that are flourishing in the underground, like the techno scene that's happening as well, just like make EDM great again.
I 100% agree. All right. Ratings.
Arbitrary scale this week. We do arbitrary scales this week because our review is our review, and what we said in it is, I think, pretty clear. This episode, we're going to do different earlier years of Coachella as our rating system. So the better the year of Coachella compared to all the other ones, the better the album. I'm going to give this... I know what you might give this, so I'm going to give this my 2010.
2010?
Yeah,
2010 goes hard. You got Muse, Gorillaz, Faith No More, LCD Sound System, Thom Yorke?
Major Lazer before they were like really generic and bad and still had like some cool ideas.
Phoenix.
LCD Sound System at their prime. Passion Pit at their prime. Dedmau.
Mouse, 2010 Dedmau. Damn, that's a good Dedmau to get.
Yeah.
I like it.
What are you putting?
Fuck, this is hard. There's two, but...
I left 2004 open for you.
Yeah, this is my 04. This is my 04. Cure, Flaming Lips, Air, which is one of my favorites.
Radiohead.
Pixies, Kraftwerk, and of course, Radiohead. More on that later.
And Kinky. And Black Keys.
And just so much shit. I can just keep going on and on.
In no order in particular.
No, of course not. Also LCD Sound System, too.
Yeah, like very, very low on their LCD Sound System. The Losing My Edge LCD Sound System.
Do.
Help grow AudioFace by liking this video, sharing this video, doing all of those things. Help, engage with the video so more people see it, like the Moto Mommy video is a great example. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, any podcast app you use. Hit follow, just do whatever there. That helps us boost in whatever algorithmic thing podcasts get discovered in and really helps us out a lot. The upcoming Power Report episode is one I've been coming on for a while and wanting to do. It's basically why legalizing weed was a mistake and why that entire escapade and debacle makes a great case for reparations, a clearer case than I think reparations has ever been argued for in political history thus far. And so you're not going to miss that up. You're not going to want to miss that episode with my good friend Rico Lamite. So check that out at youtube.com/danfromtheinternet. Well, the full version will be in podcast form and for members, but we'll have some clips on youtube.com/danfromtheinternet very shortly as well on that. We move on to Black Star, which is a duo between Talib Kweli and Yasiin Bey, aka Mos Def, have announced their long-awaited second album. No Fear of Time will be available exclusively on the Luminary podcasting platform, so it's a thing for Talib Kweli and Yasiin Bey, and by the way, Dave Chappelle, their special like podcasting project that they're doing together. And trying to pull people towards that podcasting service. Are we on Luminary? No. Will we be on Luminary? If it's a lot of work, maybe not. but yeah, it's been 24 years since Mos Def and Talib Kweli are Black Star, which was their last project. So it's a long time coming. And by the way, if my cynicism cage you off from it too much, the full project is produced by Madlib. So this is seems like it's going to be a banger to begin with.
I always love that record so much. I'm happy to see that because Yasiin Bey kind of like retired, but not really retired, but kind of. So it's interesting to see how it sounds and whatnot. I mean, he's made some of my favorite rap songs ever. And we don't even have to talk about Madlib because, you know, Madlib's just unbelievably good.
One of the best. If not the best rap producer alive today.
Yeah, then him, Metro Boomin, those are the two best. So it's very, very excited to see that. So
yeah, I really cannot see. Sorry, I cannot wait. I also cannot see without my glasses. That's really good. We move on to our second album of the day. We have Wet Legs, self-titled project. It is 37 minutes long, more or less, and 12 songs long. And Wet Leg has sort of made some waves in indie spaces. I remember hearing Chaise Lounge.
That song's kind of blown up in the indie scene this year, more or less.
In the front row, are you coming backstage after the show, because I've got a chaise longue in my dressing room and a pack of warm beer that we can consume.
On the chaise longue, on the chaise longue. Yeah, late last year, early this year especially. And I down note that's a kind of chair. That's cool. That should have been the arbitrary scale for sure, just like types of furniture. We'll save that for later. You basically have this like girl punk rock indie inspired thing, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, I like Wet Leg a lot. I was excited to give this a full listen and review on AudioFace because of hearing Chaise Lounge a lot on the radio on SiriusXMU for those indie folks. Hearing that a bit on there and around and stuff, indie scenes and whatnot, I like that track a bit, and I was interested to hear the rest of Wet Leg, but I was saving it until this fine podcast because we got Standards and Morals on here. Unless it's Radiohead or Gorillaz, then we know we circumvent and bend those fucking rules as much as we can.
Feet touching the back of our heads. for Tom York and Damon Albarn. What?
we'll break my back trying it, but we will do it, damn it. But anyways, going into Wet Leg, I do like this. I really like this record. Going into it, the only track I might not like is the opening track of Being in Love. I don't know why, it just didn't. It kind of sets it off on an odd tone with it. I think that's the only hiccup within the record to me. It's just that song just never really stuck with me that well. And after that, you got Chase Lounge, fine, really good, solid indie track. Like everything you like about indie in it is good. Angelica and I Don't Want to Go Out, I really like those tracks a lot within third and fourth songs, respectively. And with that, that's where, going back on my state of the music industry conversation stuff with indies, I didn't want people, you know, younger indie artists and stuff just to be making bedroom pop and, you know, grunge throwbacks. Like that's the trend that's been the past 2-3 years and it's getting pretty dull. But with this is your solid true indie where you have, like, obviously you're always going to have influence and stuff as indie artists, and you're going to try and play tribute to them and do other things here or there. And you have some type of sound. But with this is it's a nice fresh sound in that way. Like it sounds like a modern-ish indie album.
Yeah, like each song doesn't fall into a similar sort of drone. Like each song sounds very different from the other, but each song also calls into little bits of indie. Like you have fuzzy synths here, but like loud grunge guitars there. Like it's using a lot of different sounds within the genre to meld it together and make its own thing. This is definitely a collection of songs record as opposed to an album record. I wouldn't say, like, it plays through well. Like, I don't think there's any, like, jarring transitions per se, but, like, this is a first album self-titled kind of deal. This is kind of just the artist getting out there and showing all the different sounds they've got going on for them. And God bless, because I like a lot of what's here as well. I think, even going to, like, Oh No and Piece of Shit after that, I think are the best of those aspects. Oh No is a very kind of punk song.
Well, I think What Dream is even one of their best tracks at track 5. Right in the smack dab middle of the record. I think that's a really good song where it gives me hope for indie in that way, because it's not a stagnant song. It gets you up, it gets you riled up. It has like those influences of alt rock and a little bit of punk here or there too. So it's a track that I like a lot, but it's upbeat in that way too. It's not just monotone and whatnot, which we get with a lot of indie lately. It's a really good really good track. And then Oh No, Piece of Shit, those are really good tracks too towards the latter half of the album as well. And with that, that's where you get more of that experimentation with that too. That's where you get more of those fuzzy grungy sounds. You get a little bit of those synth sounds and everything in there. It's what turns this record into, you know, for a first record, it's hard to do, and it's something that is, you know, I'm admire it, because it takes a lot of guts to do that in that way, and for this album to blow up the way it has too. But it's all based on merit as well. It's, you know, it's a good record. It's a fantastic first project, and to do all that experimentation stuff at the end of the record, where usually like a lot of the indie records that we've been getting, a lot of like first indie records, they've been playing it safe here or there. It'll be even shorter than this, so a lot of them are EPs and whatnot, and it'll just be, you know, your normal bedroom pop stuff, sounds and whatnot, but this is just throws everything, all these different ideas that they've had into it, but it's cohesive, it's good, it keeps you on your toes, and it keeps you wanting more, because all these sounds, like, they don't sound the same at all. There's so many different sounds and so many different ideas that they have that it keeps you guessing, it keeps you wanting more, which is something that I've needed for a while, and I was excited to get into this, and I love this project.
Yes.
I really like it.
Song 11, the second to last track, Supermarket. Like, it's really great. It's like a really modern spin on those like early 2000s sort of light alternative rock like jingles that would kind of go throughout there. Kind of things you would hear in a supermarket in those early 2000s kind of things. So I think they did a really good job of capturing that sound really well.
I think
Too Late Now near the very end is the really nice summary ending for the album.
Yep.
Some refrain about like happiness is a bubble bath or whatever that is. It's just like a really like nice way to end it. But overall, excellent first. Like, this is the way to do a first album in indie.
Oh, yeah.
As always, this could be another, as many years have been, women in indie carrying the entire game here kind of year. But this is a really great one.
Fantastic record. I like it a lot. I'm excited to see what else they do, what other ideas, what other projects that they'll have in it. Because, we're definitely going to get into that because this is, good. Really good to set the, get the year going with some good indie.
Yeah. Arbitrary Scale. This is going to be, the lineup of 2007 Coachella.
2007 Coachella? Yeah. 2007 is good. You got Bjork, Interpol, Arcade Fire, Rage Against the Machine.
The Arcade Fire. They put a the.
That's hilarious.
The good, the bad, and the queen.
They have Chuck, 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 LCD Sound System, Peter Bjorn, and John. That's, damn. Ghostface Killah. More on that later.
I don't even see Chuck, Chuck, Chuck anywhere.
Yeah, Chuck, Chuck, Chuck is on Saturday, April 28th, 2007. The third line,
exclamation marks. Oh, yeah, there we go. There's the exclamation marks. The hardest to find band possible.
Surprise Pikachu face. This is, I don't know. I would like to say this is a solid, like, we'll go 2012. We'll go 2012. I wasn't even looking at the Radiohead part, but it's more of like, you have Mike Snow, The Weeknd, Beru, Swedish House Mafia, M83. You have a lot. Arctic Monkeys, Afrojack, The Black Keys headlining it. You got a lot of good stuff in there.
Dada
Life. Frank Ocean, wow. The Rapture. Whew, man. You got, damn. Oh, also Neon Indian plays 2012. Oh, yeah. That's,
it's a great year.
Indie.
Especially
that's
for
it. There you go. That's it.
Oh,
indie,
look at
that's,
that.
That is the year.
Childish Gambino is fourth line from the bottom on Saturday.
Damn. Holy shit, yeah. that's a fucking, that's a Coachella.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Wu-Tang Clan, A Tribe Called Quest, and Livin' La Vida Loca are among other songs that have been deemed culturally significant this year by the United States Library of Congress. And this is a good thing because this is kept in the historical records along with all the other like boring historical shit about the United States, like libraries and who owned slaves and, spoiler alert, almost everyone up till the 1870s. And like
and how Dan burnt the White House allegedly in 1812, so never forget.
Hey, that was a false flag by the French. Okay.
All right, this isn't us blaming Spain for a war, okay?
Power report back then. Well, I'm not going to go on a tangent about things, but it's also really significant because, like we were kind of saying and joking about America's kind of like culturally messed up history. A lot of the things that were considered to be culturally significant in the Library of Congress were a lot of the like white artists of the time up to the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So it's only until now you're getting things like Wu-Tang Clan's Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers or The Low End Theory by A Tribe Called Quest. Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody and Journey's Don't Stop Believin' are going together as well. Naturally, Livin' La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these other different songs that are now starting to show, you know, the broader cultures of America as well in music. So those will be in history. Nice. Of course, you could just listen to those on whatever streaming app you have. But go ahead and buy these on, you know, personal cassette players. No, buy these in physical mediums for yourselves to support those artists. And it's cool. You'll be cultured.
Culture, culture, culture.
God. Oh, God, I shudder just thinking about it. Anyways, last album of the week, we have Soft Power by Ryan Egan. 9 songs, 31 minutes long. And we reviewed Weeknights as a single last year. This is like a submission. And we're really interested in how it's like had an, you know, kind of an indie thing. But it's hard to kind of say it's indie in the sense of like Wet Leg, which we just reviewed, which is in that like style and form of guitar and like kind of grungy ness sounds.
I mean, that's the nice thing with indie. Indie is very broad. It encompasses a lot, and I think that's the issue with a lot of indie sound is they've been trying to confine it to one space, but there's so much more. Like, this is another style of indie.
Yeah. It's alternative. It has disco kind of influences, but even not every song does, which I really much like.
Yes.
But yeah, overall, you get a lot of really nice, I wouldn't even call this bedroom pop indie, but it fits that kind of vibe and like tone. So nothing's like really kind of like louder, grungier in your face. Everything's kind of like soft, like,
yeah,
you know, good songs in that way. You start off with Loner, which is, well, go ahead if you want to go into it.
Yeah, Loner is a good track to get you kind of into the record where it's, you know, that like, I almost want to call it like, I want to make a new genre or a new sound that we have that I do like. It's like funk indie or like disco indie or something like that. Because with Loner, it gets you into the idea of like, A, the album title, Soft Power, is a great title because that's what it sounds like. Literally, it's like soft power. That's what it's just.
Yeah,
it's a chill throwback. Like, you know, the mood lighting is all blue. Everything looks blue and purple and shit. And you're kind of just like chilling, moving, moseying around wherever you are, or whatnot. Or you're chilling, sitting on the couch, you know, sipping in June or something, whatever. It's like that mood. You're very introspective. You're thinking a lot. But soft power with that track, it's, you know, that indie funk where it gets you. It has so many different sounds, so many different ideas where it reminds me a bit of the Avalanches, where you kind of get a lot of different ideas, but it's not necessarily one specific genre in that regard. But, you know, it's just Ryan Egan doing it and not like actually supplementing from different tracks, you know, and putting them together that way. But anyways, with this record, I enjoyed it a lot. I think with Weeknights, when we got that single, I was like, okay, what are we going to get? Is it going to be just full groove or whatnot, which I didn't necessarily want for a full project, and it's definitely not. There's a lot of different sounds, a lot of different ideas with it. Towards the middle of the album, full time alone. Towards the more beginning, getting transitioning to the middle of the album, full time alone for the last time. It slows down a little bit, and you get these really nice guitars and stuff that remind me a bit of early Tori Amos in the way. If you listen to that, which it's like it's a mix of the Avalanches, Tori Amos, Neon Indian, because the vocals he does are similar to Alan Palermo of Neon Indian, where some of them are really scaled back, but you could barely hear it, and it has this nice little filter in it. But it sets it well because it sets the mood for it. Because sometimes I don't necessarily like that with artists or like that with groups or bands if they do that, because they can get a little underwhelming at times. But this, I really like how it is. Weeknights, the single that we did get late last year, I'd like to say. I really like it. It's one of my favorite indie tracks I've heard in a while. It suits the album a lot because it kind of picks it up in the way, but it still keeps the theme right. It doesn't make it, you know, it doesn't necessarily stand out too much on its own, but it's placed perfectly where it kind of transitions you towards that latter half of the record.
Yeah, it gets you into a think, like, it's a nice, like, I guess, like, I'm so bad for getting my words right now, but it's a nice, not climax, but like top of the hill, so to speak, for the album.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't necessarily go downhill in like quality from there. Definitely not. But it starts to land in vibe and tone. Actually, one of my favorite songs ends up being Don't Say You Never Loved Me, which I would have felt was like a good almost second to last track rather than a third to last track. Because I think like it almost slows it down too much of the album. But the song itself is this really nice, like slow ballad that you can tell the energy in what he's singing, but also the energy in what the production sounds like and how the instruments come together. Just don't say you never. So it's very, very good there.
Very much agreed. Yeah, I'm impressed with the record. I like it a lot. It's a sound that I would like to be more, you know, to have more on indie, to have it more out there of experimenting with slower stuff, with more of that, you know, jazz, like jazz inspired, where you slow it down. It's that mood of the, I like to say the mood lighting is the only way I could really phrase it, is everything's blue or purple and whatnot in that way. You have some, a little bit of funky bass lines and stuff, and I like it a lot. Within indie, again, these are the two records that we've had today give me hope for indie this year. It gives me like, oh wow, we've actually been getting a lot of good stuff. It's not all monotone and the same, which is great. And this is a fantastic slow record, which I like a lot. So for the right mood, put this record on. It's good.
Absolutely. Can highly recommend Ryan Egan's record.
Yeah, so, oh, for sure. I think actually, I think a lot of people will enjoy this. They just need to get the word out.
Yeah. Arbitrary Scale. We're comparing albums to Years at Coachella, because if we gave it an actual ranking that you could compare to other albums, what we said in the review wouldn't make sense. So this week it's going to be Years at Coachella. So the better the year at Coachella, the better the album is. And I'm going to give this... What would you give it?
That's a good question.
I'm at 2002.
You're 02? Yeah. 02 is a good one. Bjork, Oasis, Chemical Brothers, Using the Banshees, Peter Bjorn.
The Strokes, Tiesto, Mos Def.
Oh, damn. Back when Mos Def was performing. Fuck. That's
Queens
that's
of the
good one.
Stone Age.
More on that later. I was going to give this 05. I was going to 05 Coachella, because you have Weezer before they like really sucked. You had Coldplay before they sold out. So those are two like, ooh, man, I'd love to see them. You got M83 when he's like barely kind of getting up there. You have
the Prodigy
New Order,
in the tent.
Prodigy in the tent. Arcade Fire when they're like, you know, just popping up too. So you have like, this is a, that's a good for up and coming, you know, and then the good last hurrahs for Weezer and Coldplay before they started sucking.
Diplo, second to last line. Caspian, second to last line.
Damn. Again, like, these are, oh my god, you have MF Doom on 05.
I don't believe shit. I don't believe he was there.
I would be shocked if that was actually Doom. It was definitely Doom imposter. If Doom performed as a Doom imposter, there's no way Doom actually was there. Also, he had Fortet as well.
Yeah.
That's a good lineup.
Apparently there's video of it, but I don't believe it.
I don't believe it. I don't know. Doom truthers. Yeah. We are Doom Truthers for life, so.
Doom is somewhere in Trinidad and Tobago's right now, chilling.
Wearing his New York Islanders jersey as we go to war because we hate each other.
And we always like to end audio face in a fun note, and this is a nice intersection of what we do on Power Report and what we do on audio face, and this is yummy for my tummy. So, the Santa Ana Police Department in California is currently being investigated for a nice little trick that some officers were doing. Now, one of the few ways that police officers are held accountable is by the fact that people have smartphones and are able to record their actions. And however, and you know, those actions, if they're especially egregious, get posted on social media and they go viral. But one of the ways to prevent a video from going viral is if that video features copyrighted material in it. Then there are automatic flags within algorithms based on like all the major platforms like YouTube and Facebook. And unless you're using it in a certain way, like Instagram and TikTok even, will prevent this content from having reach because of copyright laws of the United States and how they impact the internet. And so there are police officers who are using that structure to go, okay, to make sure you don't record me, I am going to play Disney music or soundtracks from Disney music so that people couldn't record them. In Santa Ana, you know, like many police, you know, like departments in Southern California, especially in Orange County, have a real good history with harassing people of color. Santa Ana has a pretty notable Latino population and a notable undocumented population as well. And so, yeah, Santa Ana police can be kind of rough sometimes, to say the least. But there was a video posted maybe a year ago where someone's being pulled over for what seems like a traffic stop. And, like, there's a bunch of Disney songs being blared out windows and people don't know what's going on. And it's because there's police officers who are investigating a stolen vehicle and they're playing Disney music, including Toy Story's You Got a Friend in Me In Cantos, we don't talk about Bruno. Coco's Un Poco Loco and Mulan's Reflection. Two of those are a little too on the nose for me to not know what Santa Ana PD is doing.
Yeah,
there are two of those on there where I'm like, you're a bunch of racist bastards. But yeah, they're blasting that music, and the woman can be heard asking the officers, hey, yo, what's the music for? And the basically, the officer can be heard saying copyright infringement. So that's what makes all the connection there. The videos of the cops doing whatever they're doing. Maybe it's a proper investigation. Maybe it's not. You can't post videos about it, because if you try to and you post those videos on the Twitter or social media, those social media companies will block it because they're meant to block those types of music. So now they're being investigated for doing this, and this could lead to, at the bare minimum, a prevention from police officers doing this kind of thing to purposely prevent these videos from being posted.
Hilarious.
Or, you know, maybe a change in, I mean, this is more of a long shot, but maybe a slight change in internet, like, music law and how this works, because that would be awesome too, yeah.
My ass.
Yeah, that's likely not happening.
I would be shocked if that actually happened. That's hilarious, though. They're like, what are you doing? Copyright. even the cops know about copyright. That's hilarious.
Yeah. The Santa Ana Police Department says, we are committed to serving our community, and we understand the concerns that relates to the video. Sure you do. The Santa Ana Police Department takes seriously all complaints regarding the service provided by the department and the conduct of its employees. Of course you do. Our department is committed to conducting complete, thorough, and objective investigations. Of course you are.
Sure. Well, let's go with that.
Santa Ana PD is committed to understanding the concerns of the community, which would be true if it weren't for the community constantly wanting to record the police.
Yep.
Part two. They take seriously all complaints regarding the service provided by the department and the conduct of its employees, they take it so seriously, which is why its employees are trying to prevent the videos from being posted in the first place.
Just keep shooting yourself in the foot now.
Oh, I'm sure Santa Ana cop is going to do that any day now. Like, these are not Huntington Beach's finest.
Oh, God. That's even worse. Jesus.
Our department is committed to conducting complete, thorough, and objective investigations. The cops are going to investigate themselves.
All right, buddy.
Rather than expressing an opinion, this has been Audio Face. We report, you decide.
You mean to play us out?
You can find Audio Face on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod, on YouTube at youtube.com/AudioFacePod. Please subscribe. Please check out all of our new reviews and new music.
Yes.
If you have new music to send us, please send it to audioface@syndicate23.co so I don't miss it. We love sending new music. The Ryan Egan review was something that was sent to us that we reviewed and kept listening to and tabs on until it came out. And so at this time, we'll do the same thing as well. So check us out. Check Sean out on Twitter or Instagram at SW Suarez. Check me out on TikTok or old Instagram at Dan from the Internet, or Twitter and Twitch at Dan from the Web. See you all. I think we're doing an episode next week. Oh, yeah. Next week, we're not doing a live episode because I'm going to be at Coachella weekend two. The Real Music Lovers weekend, not just the Clout Chasers weekend.
More on that later.
But in lieu of that, we have an LCD Sound System bonus episode that is already up for members. So you can go to join.syndicate23.co to watch that now, or get the LCD Sound System bonus when it comes out next week, when it's unlocked for everyone else. So yeah, thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks live, or in 1 week recorded for This Is Happening LCD Sound System bonus episode. Cheers.
It's a good track for it, or a good title name for it. To Alu.
Audio Face was a little swimmer when Jamie XX's In Color came out, and now it's a kindergartner. Anyways, with Syndicate 23 updates, the PowerPoint archive is now live, and for other like membership things to support Syndicate 23, I'm not going to be able to recover from that one, be able to support Syndicate 23 and Audio Face and all the new episodes that we do, go to join.syndicate23.co. Also check out the new website. Shot done.
Jesus Christ, please never say that ever again. Ever again, please.
I can't do the plugs. I'm just going to go through it. Okay, guy, what?
Swimmer again, please. I'm retired, goddammit. I guess all I thought about right now was, you know, like, see, you know, 13 years down the road, and they're like, oh my god, how do you face can vote now? Look at us. We can now rent a vehicle.
No, it's not only that. It's just, like, I wasn't able to, like, yeah, I was laughing way too hard at that story, and then I was just able to transition to the DaBaby shooting a guy trespassing on his property. And stuff. Oh my god! Okay, I'm gonna do a round two with plugs and everything, and then I'm gonna try to do
broke me. It's been a while since I've had a good laugh like that.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Okay, round two at the plugs. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So after getting all of those laughs out of my system, remember, Syndicate 23 members can check.